Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel reading from Mark 1, which you heard read, is the basis for our meditation this morning. So think with me for just a minute about the gospel. As you heard, verse 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 1, launches into a kind of a breathless narrative. And we'll have the chance to hear all of it tomorrow night or Saturday night over in the auditorium. Verse 1 kind of launches right in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And then as you're reading along in breathneck pace, in verse 14, Mark himself describes Jesus' preaching as the gospel of God. Verse 15, the next verse from Jesus' own lips. The time is fulfilled. The reign of God stands near. Repent and believe in the gospel. So think with me for just a second about the gospel. The gospel is a report. It's news, as we all know. It's good news. It's the news, as Mark begins to tell us, that God has decided to act. He has decided to do things in the world through Jesus of Nazareth, in the world which has become quite a place of bad news. I did a little exercise. I scanned these 15 verses looking for indications, signs of bad news, and I found, perhaps not surprisingly, quite a bit. There are apparently barriers to God's own coming that have to be pushed aside because his ways need to be made straight. God's people seem to be in exile, in fact, because they have to come through the desert back to the promised land. The chosen people seem to have unchosen themselves because there is sin that needs to be confessed and from which they need to turn. John the Baptizer, quite a mensch, but not powerful enough, it seems, because someone mightier than John needs to come. And when that mighty one comes, oddly enough, he is driven out into the desert. He meets Satan. He encounters wild beasts. And then when Jesus' ministry begins, John has been incarcerated in the jail of a two-bit tyrant. And we haven't even encountered any demons yet. Lots of bad news in the world. And the God to whom this world belongs has decided to act through Jesus. And so the gospel is the message, it's the news about a God who does things in the world, for the world, through Jesus. John, the first to preach this good new thing that God was doing. He was, in a sense, the beginning of the good news. And then you keep reading, and Jesus says, it's time. What you've been waiting for has started. God, the King, is now here. And he's going to be king, Jesus says, in me. And so you know how it runs from there. Demons flee, sickness flees, death flees, all at the presence of Jesus. Sin is exposed, sinners are confronted, sinners are forgiven, unless they turn away from Jesus in sorrow, unless they attack Jesus in hatred and anger. A community forms. A new community of disciples gathered around this Jesus, a new way of living, a new Israel, a new humanity where everything is defined differently. Everything is defined differently. Power, greatness, love, success, meaning, everything is defined differently. But sin is deep and the hatred is strong. And so Jesus goes into it, all the way into all of it, all the way to the city that should know better. And all of the bad news comes at him, and he takes it, he allows it, he is baptized with it, he drinks it. For everyone who is enslaved by all of that, he pays the price of freedom, a ransom price for the many. And he dies. But he promised that that wouldn't last, that is, his death, his defeat. Because if Jesus only dies, then there is no good news, and the beginning is only a beginning. But he promised that he would do it, and on the third day, he did. The gospel is the news of what God does in Jesus. And so the women come to the tomb, and they hear from a young man in a white robe the good news. He is sitting where Jesus used to be dead, and he says, he was raised. He is not here. And the young man reminds the women of the good news that Jesus had promised. He would go ahead of them into Galilee, and so he did. And that is where this account of the good news ends. But Mark 1:1-15 is the beginning, not the end. It's the first word, not the last, because the time still stands fulfilled. The reign of God still is near. And so this morning, the gospel is for you. And I mean that in two senses. I mean, of course, that Jesus is for you, that he lived and served and taught and suffered and died and rose for you. But I also mean that the gospel is for you in that God is still in Jesus doing things in the world. He really is, and he really will. And no, I don't know or even understand all of the good news. I don't know when or how God will do the things that he plans to do in Jesus when he comes down to deliver and to forgive and to heal and to set free. But because the tomb was empty and because he promised it, he did meet them in Galilee. And the good news continued even to today. There is the good news for you today, right there. Christ will come because he promised, and he will give to you his true and risen body and blood to eat and to drink with your mouth, to take him into your body and into your life. You see, God still does things. God still shows up. So what will he do for you today? What good news should you believe? Well, I'm not sure of all of it. But here are some promises. He will cleanse you today. He will take the dirt and the grit and the filth of selfishness and apathy, of fear of the past, dread of the future. He will calm you today. He will take away the agitation that comes from thinking that you are in control, damnable lie of thinking that you are in control, of believing that you are God. After all, he died and rose for you, not the other way around. He is big, and you may come and be small, and here he will calm you. He will sustain you. He will give you real energy and truth and faith so that you can live with him, so that you can live for him. Here today, Jesus will come down and he will take away your isolation, and he will bind you to me, and he will bind me to you, and he will bind you to one another in love and in truth. And you won't be alone anymore, because the tomb was empty and he promised it. And what about, next week, like on Wednesday? What about the week after? What about the months and the years after that? Will there be good news? Yes, there will. Because God will continue to act, to shape, to forgive, to love, to fill you and me. As Jesus says in the 13th chapter of Mark, God doesn't stop, and this good news of the kingdom goes out as a witness to all the nations. And yes, of course, the brokenness and the hatred and the sin are still very strong. At times, if you are faithful in speaking this message, then people will hate you precisely for that reason. There still are deserts. There still are wild beasts. Nevertheless, God is at work. And then the end will come and there will be good news. Wrongs righted, injustice gone, death overthrown, life with God. The time is fulfilled. The reign of God has come near. Repent. Believe the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.